Before we begin with the prayer, I just want to say a thank you to the Fernando who just performed that for us, for not just doing this today, but for coming in on Thursday night on such short notice. I don't know what time you got the call, Michael. Janice, our music director, is out of town on an urgent medical situation with her daughter. And so we thank you again for filling in for us. We're so grateful. So can I borrow this? All right. So will you join me in prayer? God, we give you thanks and praise for all of the ways that you work in our lives to do that just-in-time delivery, that at the moment that we need you the most, you just seem to be there for us. While you're always there, we have the recognition that you were there for us in that moment. And God, we thank you for all of the ways that you make provisions for us. And today, as we continue the theme of Thanksgiving from Kathy, we thank you for all of the people who say, yes, God, if you can use anyone, use me. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. As we get ready back here, you ready? How many of you have heard the story of Zacchaeus before? All right, we're going to see if we can rattle the cobwebs with this. Now, you know I can't sing, right? Okay, I heard a couple of yeses, but I want to make sure you know that. Are we ready, sir? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Do you remember that? How many of you remember it now? Let's try it again. Can we do it one more time?
Sure.
Because I'm not going to sing this time. You're going to sing. Ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to. So why did he climb up in the sycamore tree? Because he wanted to see. Well, what did he want to see? He wanted to see Jesus, right? He wanted to see what's all this stuff about. Who is this man who wherever he goes, people follow, crowds gather? He wanted to see. Have we ever been in that place? I do it every Black Friday. I do. I can't tell you, well, I shouldn't tell you, but somebody in our household has an affinity for these sleek little sports cars, right? So it's like, did you see that? Have you ever been in one of those did you see that moments? Honestly, have you been there? Zacchaeus wanted to see. And so he climbs up in the tree, and here comes Jesus, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, get down from there. I need to have dinner at your house. I need to have dinner at your house. Can't you just see Zacchaeus puffing up in pride? God wants to have dinner with me. Me? Me? I have two strikes against me. I'm a tax collector. And nobody likes to pay taxes to Uncle Sam or Uncle Zacchaeus or whoever it is, right? And Zacchaeus was wealthy in a time there was not great wealth spread among people. Oh, is that today? They have been confused. So two strikes against Zacchaeus. And then the crowd seems to say, Jesus is going to have dinner with a sinner? A sinner? Not just a sinner, but a two-strikes sinner? And so what does Zacchaeus do? He immediately says, I will give back half of my wealth. I will give it away. And he didn't consult a significant other. I don't know if you noticed that in the story. That's a bad thing, right? In a relationship. Immediately, half of everything he had was given away. And he said, I will pay four times what I have taken from others. Now, why did Zacchaeus do that? Why do you think? We don't know, but why do we think he would do that? Say it out loud. He wanted what? I'm sorry. Forgiveness? Redemption? Because he loved Jesus? Because he was inspired? Because he wanted to soothe his conscience? Well, we don't know. But it could have been any of those things, right? When we are wrong, do we usually try to make up for it? I'm just seeing a few people nodding. Am I like on the wrong track here? When we do something wrong, I mean, that seems to be what Zacchaeus is saying. I will give 4 times to people what I have taken from them. Now, I don't know about you. I don't work for the government like that, but I think that's a legal job to collect taxes, isn't it? So even in those times, that was a legal, if you will, or I shouldn't say legal, it was something that the government authorized. Now, we could spend a lot of time thinking about who gave the government the power to do that. But the bottom line is, somebody in a position of authority was just doing his job. But he says, nope, here's half of everything I own, and I'm going to give up to or 4 times what I've taken from people. For whatever his motivation, Zacchaeus was trying to right things. So then this becomes a story about forgiveness. It becomes a story about doing the right thing. And that's something I think all of us can use as a lesson. Even if it's just a lesson of remembrance that we already do these things. So that begs the question. What does it mean to forgive? When you forgive someone, what does that mean? Say it, you let it go. God forgives you. Forgiveness just means those 2 things. You let it go. You allow yourself to move forward. Brings peace and harmony to who? To everyone involved. Is forgiveness easy? I need a little louder response on that. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy for the person who has to let it go, and sometimes it's not easy for the person who is being forgiven, right? So why is forgiveness hard? Why is it hard? Say it again. It's humbling because of our ego. It gets in the way sometimes, right? Sometimes, isn't it more fun to hang on to it? I heard an absolutely on that one. It's sometimes easier to be really mad at somebody or really hurt by something someone has done instead of casting it aside and saying, I forgive you. So why is it easier to hold on to it than it is to let go? It's not. We could talk probably in therapy for years about that, couldn't we? This isn't something that's not messy, because forgiveness is a messy business, because it involves relationships. And since it involves relationships, it involves humans. And I'm going to tell you something, people. You know this. Forgiving means we accept what has happened. And it's not easy to accept some things, is it? How many of you came to this church broken because you were not accepted where you were? How many of you happened? How many of you have been in situations where you had to accept that someone who you didn't think deserved it got a promotion or a job you thought was yours? How many of you have had to deal with that? How many of you have had to deal with the fact that someone other than you won the lottery? Now, our dear friend Carol, shared her lottery winnings with us. But you know what? Why not me? I buy a ticket. I spend $2 a week. We ask ourselves these questions, don't we? And you may not be questioning the lottery, but we ask ourselves these questions. Why do these things happen to some people and not to others? But in the end, what we're holding on to is that emotion that charges us to either do something or to refuse to do something. Zacchaeus was judged a sinner. So there's also a piece of judgment in this story. What does it mean when we judge people or events? What are we doing? We may be looking down on them. I'm going to come back to what you said, Jeff, because I think that's really a key. What did someone back here say? We're critiquing or criticizing what they've done, right? Jeff said we're rendering a verdict. We are holding up the actions that we see. We are deciding with our critique filter, whatever. We are deciding that it is either acceptable or it's not acceptable. How many of us would like someone to apply a critique or render a judgment for everything we do? I can't hear that answer, church. Yeah, I don't think we'd like that, would we? Even if our motivations are good, even if we're trying to do the right thing, judging is something that we usually don't feel good about. Now, I'm not going to say we've never judged anyone, right? That's never happened to anyone in our church. We've never been judgmental. But even in our own experiences, we've been marginalized. Almost everyone in this room has been shoved to the side, to the margins of society. And in being shoved to the side, we have found ourselves in situations where we don't feel good. We don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel good about our experience. We don't feel good about how we were treated. We don't feel good about how we feel as a result of that. And for some of us, we live in that place. Now, I'm not talking about you. I don't want to judge anyone. I'll talk about myself for a moment. You know, terrible things happened to me as a child. I could have lived in that place. And in fact, for probably way too long, I did. Because I couldn't believe that a God who loves me would let someone hurt me. And so I made a judgment against God and against the people in my church who could have protected me. And I did that because it made me feel a sense of entitlement, that it was okay if I wasn't perfect, because what happened to me was wrong. And so if I had been wrong, then maybe it was okay that I didn't live fully the life that Jesus modeled for us. So if I didn't quite give 10% to the church, it was okay because things happened to me that weren't okay. If I didn't quite give as much money to those people who call you on the phone, or in those days came to the house with their various donation baskets, it was okay. I'm not saying this sermon is about money, because it's not. But I'm using these as an example to talk about how we sometimes cloak ourselves in how we've been treated, to use as an explanation, not an excuse, but an explanation for how we behave towards one another. If tomorrow 50 seats were filled by fundamentalist Christians who could not stand us as a people, would we welcome them? Some people are saying yes. Some people are saying, I don't know. And some people are just flat out shaking their heads no. See, the story for Zacchaeus is a deeper one if we really think about forgiveness. Because some people do things that seem on the surface to be unforgivable. Did anybody ever read the book The Shack? How many of you have read The Shack? What was The Shack about? We did it a few years ago in Advent. What was The Shack about? Say it, Pedro. About reconciliation with God for whom? Who needed to be reconciled? Right? His name was Mac, wasn't it? And Mac had a child who was brutalized. And so Mac was very angry about what happened. And in his anger, Mac acted out. And who was really hurt by those actions? Mac was. And so it took Mac a long journey. Now I'm going to pause for a second and insert us in that. Have we ever acted out because of something that happened to us? And then we hurt ourselves? Maybe we turned to drugs or alcohol or overeating or anger. Or even sometimes, instead of accepting the help that is offered us, we are too prideful to say, yes, I can use this help. When we get into those destructive places, we really are only hurting ourselves. Zacchaeus appears to have recognized that he was given an opportunity to find favor. And in being found in a place of favor, we presume the story went well from there. But we don't know that. So if we could write the next chapter in Zacchaeus' life, what would it say? Zacchaeus climbed down, he went to dinner with Jesus, and he's broke. He gave away half and paid up to four times, right? And he lived happily ever after. Isn't that what we all seek? Come on, church, isn't that why we're here? Aren't we here because we're seeking that happily ever after? Isn't it because we long to know we are forgiven for whatever we have done? That no matter what we've done, God loves us unconditionally? Isn't that why we're here? You know, Matt Child made a statement that is often used. And he said, forgiveness is giving up hope for a better past. Forgiveness is giving up hope for a better past. Forgiveness is giving up hope or letting go of the desire to have a better whatever already happened. We can't change that, can we? We can't change what has already occurred. All we can do is use the opportunities that are before us to write a different story, to write another chapter that has a better ending or has a better experience. And church, we are there. We are at that moment in the story of Zacchaeus. Right this minute, we have a chance to write a story that has a different ending. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting that we have a chance to write a different story? It's not going to be easy. It means we have to let go of what has already happened to us. It means we have to accept responsibility that even if we were hurt or wounded or angered or even betrayed by something in the past, we say, I'm letting it go. I'm putting it right here and I'm walking away from it because it doesn't serve me. Church, we are in that moment and it is not easy to forgive. It is not easy to walk away from what we may have carried a long time. But it is a chance. It is an opportunity to open ourselves to all God knows we can be. to all God knows we deserve to be. Because we are unconditionally loved by our Creator. No matter what we may have done, what thoughts may have rumbled around in the cobwebs of our minds, God loves us exactly as we've been created. And so now is the time for us to step forward as Zacchaeus did and say, tomorrow is my new chapter, and I am going to be fully present in defining it. God loves us. In fact, Jesus' last words when he was nailed to that cross were, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is a gift. It's not easy, but we owe it to ourselves to fully embrace the opportunity to be full, to be loved, and to love others. God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to think about Zacchaeus and that sycamore tree and all that it can mean for us. And God, in thinking of these issues that are not easy, may we continue to know your presence within us, your love and your compassion for us. And most importantly, God, may we know that your gift to us, your constant gift to us, is how you love us despite our actions and our thoughts. And may we continue to model ourselves after you. May we continue to know you in our lives as the ultimate model for forgiveness. In all the names that we know you and love you. Amen.